Don't wait for the perfect moment. Don't wait until sometime next year. Don't wait for things to get easier. Don't wait for someone else to do it first. With the Wall Street Journal, you'll have a world of news, tools, and knowledge to empower your ambitions. So don't be the last one to know. Get the timely and trusted insights you need to stay on the front foot. Because good things come to those who don't wait. To become a Wall Street Journal member, go to wsj.com/radio.
Warning. This show contains adult political themes and language. Liberals and little children should cover their ears.
Welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps, where negativity never sounded so good. Now here's your host, Thomas Purcell.
Good morning and welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps. Make sure to follow the show at our website at libertyneversleeps.com. Be sure to follow our Twitter feed at Real Liberty Tom. You can also join us on Facebook at Real Liberty Never Sleeps on Facebook.com. But we're 28 days away to the election, the midterm election, which means we're facing 28 days of utter nonsense from the left because they've absolutely shot themselves in the foot with the Kavanaugh nomination. You know, this morning I woke up and I every time I open up the news, I've always got stuff to talk about, but it seems like the liberals are in disarray this morning because Kavanaugh was sworn in. It was, I watched it, you know, and I'll talk a little bit about it next, but it's a kind of a thing where the liberals just don't know whether the shit or go blind now because they banked everything on shutting down the Kavanaugh nomination to the Supreme Court. And it's like they don't have anything. Before I go further, I think I should mention this. Yesterday was Columbus Day. For those of you who don't know, normally I do take Columbus Day off, but I felt there's been a couple days I haven't done shows that maybe I should have. And so I decided to do a Columbus Day. I didn't do a Columbus Day show, though, because years ago, back when Laz was part of the show, I did a Columbus Day show. And I don't think I'm ever going to do anything better than what I had said then. There's no sense, you know, saying the same things over and over again. And I posted it to our website. Liberty Never Sleeps is one of the you know, early day shows back before we were crowdfunded, when it was a different show. It was more a conversational show. And so I just leave it up there. And I tweeted it out, you know, and I put it up on our Facebook site. But I said all I'm going to say on Columbus Day. There's a reason why we should celebrate Columbus Day. And I spelled it out. I said, you know, it's not about Christopher Columbus. It's not about America even. It's what it's about is how an individual, Christopher Columbus, came across the ocean in 1492 and it basically monetized the New World. That's what he did. And it's capitalism. I've always said we should have a day of capitalism to celebrate capitalism. We've got all kinds of days which celebrate labor, which celebrate leftist ideas, everything from Arbor Day to Labor Day. Why don't we have a day that celebrates capitalism? Maybe Donald Trump or somebody close to Donald Trump is listening to this show. We should have a day, a national holiday. I would say sometime in August, because we don't have a three-day weekend in August. We should have a national holiday for capitalism. Why the hell don't we? Capitalism changed the world. Free markets changed the world. We destroyed the royal families of Europe. Almost. Almost. We should celebrate that. Why? And that's why we celebrate Columbus Day. It's the monetization of the New World. It's not about Christopher Columbus. I mean, you know, all day long yesterday, I listened to the nonsense about indigenous peoples. What did the indigenous peoples ever do for America as we know it today? I can't recall. I mean, like I said on the show a couple of years ago when I did the Columbus Day show, if it wasn't for Christopher Columbus, we'd all be Nazis today. Because if it wasn't for America, the rise to power, if it wasn't for American know-how, there would be no, you know, bulwark of freedom against the Nazi menace in the 40s, to say nothing of Napoleon or anything else like that. It's just nobody puts things in context, right? And everyone talks about Christopher Columbus, how horrible a man he was. Sure he was. He absolutely was. I wouldn't argue with anyone that Christopher Columbus was a swell guy. But put it in the context of the period of 1492 we're talking about. We're talking about really backward thinking back then. We talk about people that keeping people as slaves. We talk about, you know, you talk about racism and things like that. Well, you know, the Mayans and Incans weren't people that were too nice either. They engaged in blood sports, cannibalism, enslaving people. I mean, if the Mayans or Incans came across another tribe in South America or North America, as you move northward, they exterminated them people. You have to understand, back in those time, in those days, the Spanish and the other Western countries were civilized compared to the rest of the world. As barbaric as they were civilized. The peoples of the indigenous peoples of the Americas literally committed genocide on a daily basis. So don't. It's, you have to put everything in context, right? And so now, you know, as I said, we're 28 days to the election, and now the liberals have to come up with something. I mean, there's all kinds of stories we're going to cover today. We're going to go back to an old format just for today, where I cover news stories and talk about them, and talk about them in plain language. It's like I was looking at a lot of news stories today. I saw a news story that John Goodman was talking about the Roseanne reboot without Roseanne, which is a stupid and idiotic idea. I don't know who came up with that at ABC, but it must have been like, oh shit, we shot ourselves in the foot by firing Roseanne. We killed a top-rated show, which don't come on along too often, right? There really isn't any good shows on television. So when you finally get one that people will watch, at least in some modicum of what they used to watch TV, you don't shoot yourself in foot by finding their lead star over a stupid tweet. But nevertheless, that happened. And so now they have to go on. So they've decided to go on with the show after Roseanne. And he was talking about how weird it is and whatnot. And yeah, what's it called? The Connors, right? I guess Roseanne's last name was Connor. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. They're going to go on without her. And they're going to kill the character off due to an opioid overdose. Yeah, that's high comedy. That's just what I want to see after a long day of work. Come home for some laughs about Roseanne dying from an opioid overdose. I mean, whose thoughts were that? Why do shows always got to send a friggin' message? I'm not interested in messaging on television or being told how I should live my life or about a problem. I mean, if I want that, I'll turn on the news, okay? You know what I want to see? I want to see Roseanne Barr screwing around with her family, doing stupid things and fun and laughing my ass off. It's like that show Big Bang Theory. I loved Big Bang Theory in the early days. It was funny. And Chuck Lorre does some great TV shows. I mean, you know, you talk about Two and a Half Men in the early days again. But I'm watching it the other night, and it's just, you know, it's messaging all the whole show. It's just not enjoyable to watch anymore. Thank Christ they pulled the plug on that show. It's like, I don't know what ruined it or what. The advent of the women coming on the show and making it about an agenda, or the producers doing it, or I don't know if it's the actors or what. I don't want to see Sheldon deal with his emotional issues over closeness to his relationships. I don't give a shit about that. I want to see them goofing around like they did in the early days. You know, the characters were funnier, were more negative, were more, you know, barbed. Now everybody, it's like Friends, you know, that piece of shit show too. I know most people who listen to my show, you know, watch TV. I don't. It's so horrible. But every now and then I come across something that I really enjoy. In the early seasons of Big Bang Theory, I enjoyed. And I don't know what it is with network TV, you know? But now we've got 28 days before the election, and now everyone's rolling out shows to attack Trump. You got Murphy Brown attacking Trump. You got Deborah Messing on Will and Grace attacking Trump all day long. Every season episode revolves around, oh, politics. Why? It's like you just want to flick the channel off. And then network TVs, TV producers and shows, they wonder why their ratings are dropping every year. And they wonder why, you know, nobody wants to watch him in the NFL. Wonders why nobody wants the NFL anymore. Well, they don't want to see players taking a knee to the American flag and disrespecting our veterans. And you know, when the NFL, the people to say, oh, it's not about that. The protest is about something else. It's about police brutality on blacks. Yeah, but the American people interpret it a certain way. So when that happened, when everyone said, hey, listen, you shouldn't attack the flag, you don't argue with them. You just say, okay, you're right. That was a bad move. Let's talk about the issue, though. Then people will listen, you know? But no one wants to see Roseanne Barr die of an opioid crisis. No one wants to see a football player take a knee. No one wants to see Sheldon and Amy deal with their emotional issues. It's just stupid. It's like, oh, geez, another fucker. You turn it off. I was talking with some Facebook friends on my personal friends list. And I said, you know, the dumbest show on TV has to be that Rescue 911. I was watching a promo for it on a very special. You know, anytime you know a show is going to be a piece of shit, they always start it with on a very special. And that's when you go, oh, Jesus. The guy falls into an escalator trap, which happens, okay? It does. That would be a real story. I remember the old show, Emergency. They used to deal with crap like that, people falling in situations and then the firemen getting them out. But they show it as a guy who's going to ask his wife to marry him on top of an escalator and then falls into the shaft while carrying the ring. Oh, no! It's just stupid. And, you know, it's because it's only 8 days of the election. Everyone wants to get out the word, you know, go vote, okay, but go vote left. They don't want you to vote for right-wing stuff. Go vote left. And so all these shows are all pitching a last-minute desperate plea to get voters to go vote for anything that has anything to do against Trump. It's like, what was it? They got Taylor Swift to come out and make an Instagram post about why you should vote for this leftist in Tennessee. You know, Taylor Swift is what? 2 million, 3 million followers on Twitter, something like 16 million fans. So she's going to destroy half her fan base. Because you go, you know, there are Taylor Swift fans that are conservative. There are liberal ones. You're going to destroy half your audience just to make a point? What is that? While nobody wants Taylor Swift to come out and say, oh, this person is a good person, vote for him. Whether it's right or left, I might add. They want Taylor Swift to sing Taylor Swift songs. And I mean, I don't listen to it, so I wouldn't know what the songs are. But it's like, that we want entertainment. Nobody wants to come home after a hard day of work and not be entertained and get lectured at. And it's like all the time on every channel, you get lectured at. This is this, this is that, blah, 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 global warming. Everything's coming apart. The world's coming to an end and everything is Trump's fault, right? Can you imagine if it was like that with Barack Obama was president? Can you imagine where every time you turn on the news and every show was Barack Obama's an awful president? I would turn that off. I wouldn't listen to that stuff. You know, I remember when Obama was president. It wasn't that long ago, right? I used to do shows and I used to say, well, this was an issue and that was an issue. But I couldn't stand it all. I mean, I wouldn't watch Fox News or whatever 24/7. I wanted some entertainment. I would watch a football game or a movie or something. But it seems like everything has got a message now. You're getting clobbered with it. It's no wonder. It's no wonder people are tuning out. Anyway, let's move on. I guess I went on a rant, you know? It's the kind of a day where I didn't have anything really to focus on. And you get in a situation where you rant, where you start complaining about everything and every little thing. You know, everything from the kids running around the supermarket to the TV shows, which are complete and utter nonsense. I want to talk about the Kavanaugh apology. You know, Donald Trump apologized to Brett Kavanaugh, and of course the liberals' heads spin right off their shoulders about that. And then we got to talk about the story about global warming is destroying the globe, and the left and Hillary Clinton and Kathy Griffin and the Google vice president. We got so much to talk about. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. Days. It can't come soon enough. I do this for a living. I have to listen to politics all day long. I have to listen to CNN, MSNBC. God help me, I have to listen to The View every now and then. And it's just overwhelming, the stupidity that, I mean, from both sides. I'm a conservative. You know, I listen to a lot of different shows. I have to tell you, there's an awful lot of stupidity coming from the right, too. And not right-wing ideas, just from Fox News. They got that idiot Marie Harf on, and then Juan Williams looks like he's completely baffled about what's going on. He looks like he was a deer caught in headlights every time he's on Fox News. It's just nonsense. On every channel, they can't find any decent talk show hosts. They can't find any decent political pundits. And you know the political pundits that are really doing well? You know, everyone from the far out there Alex Jones to moderate right wing to entertaining right wing like Mark Dice, they're barred from most network TV. They're barred from most news shows. News shows won't have people from the alternative media on. They're afraid that if they bring those people on, people will tune into those shows and therefore they will lose viewers. That's the thinking. It's really a dumb thing, because what happens is people go, oh, it's the same old idiot Marie Harf. Oh, it's the same old idiot Rachel Maddow who's complaining about this and that. And so they just tune it out anyway. What you really want is those alternative media people on your TV show or on your political show, so that you bring in that audience to your show and in hopes that they'll listen to you. But they don't think that. They're afraid. They really are afraid of alternative media. They really are afraid of talk shows. Or podcast hosts or people like Mark Dice, people who have their own independent following, a million. They're afraid of them. They're afraid of putting them on because they're afraid they'll say something that will offend their viewers. They're afraid that, you know, people will listen to their show. And in as a result, people aren't listening to any shows anymore. They aren't. Brett Kavanaugh. So he got sworn in yesterday. You know, I was glad to see it. I thought the whole thing, I mean, from top to bottom, was a complete farce, complete circus. It was more than just let's smear Brett Kavanaugh. It was a complete lack of understanding of what the process is about. What the process of nominating a Supreme Court nominee involves, the process of advice and consent. Advice and consent doesn't mean that the Supreme Court justice has to adhere, or the nominee has to adhere to what Congress thinks is a good Supreme Court justice. It's not what it's about. It's about saying to the president, yeah, this person is qualified to be on the Supreme Court. And I'm not going to proceed to tell senators what to do or how to do their job or what the, but I can tell you that was the intent of the founding framers, because all you have to do is read their papers to understand what they wanted. They wanted the people to have some sort of stopgap for a completely outrageous pick. Brett Kavanaugh is not an outrageous pick, not by any stretch of the imagination. Look at the list of Supreme Court nominees that was provided by Donald Trump before he got elected. There are some people that are very right-wing, very extreme. Amy Coney Barrett comes to mind. She is one who has been very hard right. I would say probably as far, if not further right, than Scalia. Okay, she has an interpretation of the Constitution that is so strict that it harkens back to literally 1787. I'm not opposed to that, mind you. I'm just saying her understanding of the law, understanding of the Constitution, her interpretation of it, her court cases are very extreme. I can understand why Donald Trump said, I don't think I'll put this person on the court to replace Kennedy, right, at this juncture. He went with Brett Kavanaugh because Kavanaugh was not an extremist, was not an extreme right wing. Is he right wing? Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But is he a justice in the mold of Scalia or an Amy Barrett? No, of course not. No way. That's why this whole thing came as a shock to me. I didn't expect Brett Kavanaugh to have this kind of obstructionism, this kind of circus mentality. I didn't think it would be that. And I honestly believe that Donald Trump picked Brett Kavanaugh so that it would be a smooth and easy transition before the run-up to the election. Otherwise, he would have picked Amy Barrett. He would have picked someone further right. So my question is this. If everyone went crazy over Brett Kavanaugh, right? If everyone felt that on the left, that this guy was going to repeal Roe v. Wade all on his own, that he was going to stand against any kind of understanding of the Constitution as they understand it, what's going to happen when Clarence Thomas or Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires and he does replace them with an extreme right-wing job? What do you say to the American people? Oh, but this one is even worse? Oh, but what kind of horror can we come up with on this person? What do you say to them? Then, because anything that you say at this point, the American people are going to say, well, wait a minute. You said that about Brett Kavanaugh. You said this about that. It's like the global warming thing, which you're going to talk about next. They cry wolf so often. They scream and rant and cry that it becomes a farce at this point. It becomes so ridiculous that protests don't mean anything. Yesterday, I was watching films of people bang on the doors of the Supreme Court, crying and weeping. Everybody's a martyr. And if you're going to go like that, you're going to go to 11 right away on a scale of 1 to 10. You go to 11 on a Brett Kavanaugh. What do you do when you really do have something to be concerned about? What do you do when you have somebody that may have an interpretation of the Constitution that is even further beyond what the Founding Fathers imagined? How do you tell the American people that? Oh, but this guy's even worse? Well, what could be worse than screaming and pulling your hair out on the steps of the Supreme Court? What could be worse than that? And I don't understand why the left doesn't get that. You know, we've got, like I said, this election coming up. And they've been screaming and ranting for so long that people are tuning out, which may be legitimate in cases where somebody is further right. That's why Donald Trump apologized to Brett Kavanaugh. Yesterday during the ceremony, Donald Trump, I'm sorry that this system that we have now had to put you through this, you know? But it's not like it hasn't happened before. It's not like it didn't happen with Clarence Thomas. It's not like it didn't happen with David Ginsburg. It's not like it didn't happen with Robert Bork. There hasn't been a right-wing judge other than Gorsuch in my studies of what has been going on with the Supreme Court. There hasn't been a right-wing justice approved in probably since Scalia that hasn't been completely obstructed by the liberal senators. There hasn't been one. There hasn't been one that they've said that is acceptable. It's ridiculous. No, nobody's acceptable. Nobody's acceptable. Anyone right of Woody Allen is not acceptable to them. And they never make it about the guy's record. They never make it about the court cases. They never make it about his history on the court or experience or legal upbringing. They always make it about ridiculous issues, a pubic hair on a Coke, an unsubstantiated allegation of a sexual assault without a single shred of evidence. It's always so bizarre. It's not even realistic. In the case of David Ginsburg, they said, well, he used marijuana in college. Like, yeah, we've had a president, two presidents, who said, openly said they were involved with cocaine and drug use They did okay as president. Why can't, if we have presidents that did that, why can't we have a president, a Supreme Court justice who at one time was involved with marijuana? I mean, what? It was so ridiculous. I remember when they shot down Harriet Myers, when George Bush was president. Harriet Myers didn't have the judicial experience. And so the conservatives went after her for that. Well, maybe, but there's no requirement for a Supreme Court justice to be even a lawyer. It's only supposed to be somebody who can interpret the Constitution. And Harriet Myers certainly could. Shot her down. And it's been a nonstop character assassination if you're a right-wing justice. Donald Trump apologized to Kavanaugh, but he really didn't have anything to apologize to him for. You know, it's not his fault that Kavanaugh got run through the ringer. I mean, you had to expect it, right? No matter who he picked. When you look at the history of Supreme Court justices by the right wing, they can't handle it. They can't come to any sort of legitimate debate. It's not Donald Trump's fault. I apologize, you know, for what the country put you through. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I understand what he was saying. He was saying, hey, man, I didn't expect this kind of rancorous debate. Even I didn't expect this kind of circus-like atmosphere. Did you see the picture of Clarence Thomas? By the way, Clarence Thomas has put on some weight. Holy cow. I didn't realize how big he had gotten. Clarence Thomas and John Roberts and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were in a photograph as Brett Kavanaugh was getting sworn in. I don't know if it was the exact moment in which they were swearing him in or what, but they were laughing and jovial. I mean, ear to ear grins. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is sitting there with her, you know, hunchback, crookedy face, you know, with a big frown on it. It just kind of said it all. That was a Pulitzer Prize photograph. I don't know what the left is going to do. I don't know what the left is going to do in 28 days. I don't think there's going to be a blue wave. First of all, I've said before, and I'll say it again, it's entirely likely that the Democrats will either recover the House or the Senate. It's just a matter of numbers, timing, shift in politics, not to mention the American people, the way they're going to vote. And so this claim that it's going to be a red wave instead, I'm not so sure about that. But because of this Kavanaugh thing, because it's basically galvanized the right wing into doing something about the left wing, because the left wing's attacks were so over the top, I have said that the Republicans will retain the House, but will lose the Senate, just because it's the way the numbers fall, and because in a number of states, in senatorial races, the Democrats have been very successful in siphoning off right-wing votes to put an establishment candidate in on the GOP, and the conservative vote won't be voting in the fall election. I think that's what you've seen. Now, the Kavanaugh thing may shift things. That's entirely unexpected, and I didn't anticipate that. But I've always believed that the liberal screaming and yelling would increase, and that people voting in their local elections, which is basically the House of Representatives, would see that and would fight back. That's why I predicted on my show that the House would be retained by the Republicans, but the Senate would be lost. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. Situations like this, I love to be wrong. It's just I rarely am. I have a good understanding of politics. That's why I do the show. And so apology yesterday, it was like, it just drove the liberals more wild, because in their opinion, the senatorial staff on the Judiciary Committee, you know, people like Dianne Feinstein, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, they represent a very polarized view of America. And they sold that Brett Kavanaugh was a rapist to America. That's what they did. They sold it. And they got Americans to believe a guy who has no evidence against him, no FBI reports and 6 background checks, no indication in his personal or professional life for over 30 years was any kind of a sexual predator. They sold it to the liberal America, the liberal electorate that he was a sexual predator, and people bought it. That's the bad thing. That's not something that Trump should be apologizing for. That's America that we're living in, that politicians, and I talked about this all day yesterday, are able to sell something through the media to the liberal people, the followers, that's something that is plainly not true. It's everything from global warming to Clinton being a much maligned politician. It's more than just, well, we think these things are true and the right wing is wrong. If they had stuck to that, I think that they would have easily recovered the House. They're not doing that. They're selling absolute and utter lies. I mean, if there was any evidence, any, that Brett Kavanaugh was in some way a sexual predator, you can't take a woman's claim as gospel. You can't say that just because a woman said something and accused somebody of something that it's true. You can't do that. Not in America. Not in any sense of logic, right? Somebody comes forth and has an allegation that something happened to her and she blames Brett Kavanaugh. Okay, we listen to it. But we have to take a look at what the evidence is. And there was none. In fact, any of the evidence provided by the accuser showed that Brett Kavanaugh was completely exonerated. That's the remarkable thing. And the left wing bought it. Witnesses who were there at parties with Dr. Ford said, that wasn't Brett Kavanaugh. That didn't happen. The evidence is scant. She can't recall the time. She can't recall the place. She can't recall exactly what happened. And yet, they bought it. That to me is the most astonishing thing. That the mainstream media sold it. They were facilitators in this. That the senators who were on that Judiciary Committee, they sold it. And then, of course, for political reasons, they got the other senators in the Senate to buy along with it. The vote was strictly along party lines. They got 48 senators who were supposed to be the cooler and wiser heads to accuse a man of sexual predatory behavior without a scintilla of evidence. Nothing. That to me is a remarkable thing. And that's what worries me about America. Not the division in our politics, but that Trump actually felt it necessary to apologize to Kavanaugh for that kind of circus-like situation that went on in the Senate. That's why Lindsey Graham went crazy. He couldn't believe it. It wasn't that they were accusing him of a crime. It was that people are convinced of it without any evidence. That's a worrisome thing. And worse, what's going on when we talk about the celebrities and the Google vice president and Antifa. Let's talk about that next. We'll be right back. We're back. By the way, we are a crowdfunded show, and we need your money. I need it for advertising. I need it for always upgrading equipment because equipment wears out. And we need to get donations going. For those of you who donate now, you have access to the Patreon, the Friday show. You get little things in the mail from me from time to time, little PDF files and whatnot. But for all of you listeners who aren't donating, I don't know why. We really do need those donations. It's not like you'll miss a dollar or two on your credit card or your debit card once a month. And if I had, you know, I mean, I look at the ratings and I say to myself, wow, we've got 10,000, 20,000 listeners. And I know we're a small show. But if we had only a third of them donate a dollar or two, we would have money to do all kinds of things, like hire people and bring in a staff and be a larger and more productive show. So I really need those donations. So I'm going to hammer it a little today that we could really a few more dollars too. We can get it to the next level. And if we had just 100 listeners donate a couple bucks, That would make a huge difference in our advertising budget, and we could bring you a bigger and better show and get a little bit more popular, because people always say to me, they send me messages, how come you aren't listened to more? How come? And I go, I wish I was. It's not for a lack of trying, but when you have only a limited budget, as I said, I'm a disabled man. When you only have a limited budget, then you can only do so much when Google Analytics and everything have tried to shut down your show. And, unless you're spending money with them, you're just not going to be up there in the search engines. It's starting to come around as we've adapted and made changes to the titling of our show, our webpage. I've reached out to other sources. I'd like to welcome all of the PPV TV viewers who are listening to the show. If you're a PPV person, hey, listen, great. Glad to have you aboard. But we are a publicly funded show, so to speak, a crowdfunded show, and I really need those donations. So I hate to pound the drum, but I think it's time that I do it again. Anyway, moving on. You know, everyone seems to be a martyr, right? Everyone is going overboard on the entire world is going to end unless we do something about Donald Trump, unless we do something about the Republican Party, unless we do something about these racist, Nazi, homophobe Republican Party. They never come to the American electorate and say, no, we can do better. We can offer you this kind of system or this jobs program, or they don't offer any solutions. You know, when Obama was president, the Republicans came forward with solutions. They said, hey, listen, no, this is we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way because we're seeing an increase in food stamp usage. We're seeing an increase in Medicaid recipients. We're seeing an increase in joblessness. The labor pool is going down. We can do better. We can lower taxes. We can lower regulations. We can get business working again. We can do it if you vote for us. That's a great argument. They brought a case to the American people, and over 8 years, they won back over 1,000 seats, right? What do the liberals offer the American electorate as an answer to the policies of Donald Trump? Well, it's pretty hard to when Trump's been so successful. The economy is on fire. Foreign policy, our enemies are on the run. It's pretty hard to say, well, we offer a better program. It becomes... they're a racist. They're terrible. You know, Kathy Griffin was sending out tweet after tweet, dropping F-bombs. F-bomb you, F-bomb that. And I believe me, I am no stranger to the use of blue language. I grew up in New York. And people around me, that was when you ever watch those movies like Goodfellas or Casino or... Godfather, I don't know. I'm using all mafia movies, and I guess I shouldn't, because, you know, it is a way of speaking in New York particularly. You use the F-bomb as, like, common language. It's everything is F this and you know, S that and B that word and use all kinds of foul language. It's just, I don't know. It's a cultural thing, you know? But Kathy Griffin sends out this tweet and endlessly sets out tweets, you know, like this. And same with Ron Perlman, same with Morgan Freeman. I could name half a dozen celebrities that I follow that do nothing but drop F-bombs and call people names. And then they have the nerve after the Kavanaugh appointment to send out tweets like, oh, I can't believe we lost this battle. Well, what did you offer the American electorate? What did you say to them that would make them change their minds? You can't just, you know, drop an F-bomb or call people expletives. As I said, on this show, I'm no stranger to the use of blue language. But I'd like to think that we offer a solution or basically talk about solutions here on the show. And other shows like this, there are literally thousands, maybe thousands of podcasts which talk about what's wrong with America and a way to improve it. And they use blue language on these other podcasts, but nobody says blankety blank this, blankety blank that, blankety blank that, and it doesn't offer them anything. What are you voting for? You know, Martha McSally here in Arizona is running a highly charged, highly negative campaign. I'm the first to say to that campaign, hey, listen, it's too much. I'm not seeing anything positive about Martha McSally. Very, very few ads about what she offers to the Arizona electorate. She offers nonstop commercials about how awful Kristen Sinema is, and they're really nasty commercials. Everything from she supports child molesters, which I'm not going to disagree with the content of it. But when you run that kind of a negative campaign, you're going to get some backlash, and it's going to turn people off. And, you know, like the Google vice president tweeting out all kinds of horrible things, and members of the resistance, nonstop expletives, nonstop personal attacks. We're going to dox you. We're going to do this. Maxine Waters, I'm going to do this. And everybody's a martyr. Oh, my God, the world's going to end if this doesn't change. No, it's not. It's going to go on just fine. Oh, it's going to change a little bit. And then it's going to swing back. And then it's going to swing forward. And what do you offer? What do you offer this election? What is your narrative in this election? What are you saying to the American people? The Republicans ran on lower taxes, smaller government, more jobs, less people on food stamps, and we're going to stop some of these entitlements and slow them down, and slow down the progress of big government in society. Okay, that's a good sale. What does the left wing offer? The progressive agenda. We're going to abandon the Electoral College? Is that a positive thing? We're going to return America to mass democracy? Is that anything that Americans want? We're going to give you free medicine and free healthcare and free college education? Well, I guess that you can with Bernie Sanders, but that's not the Democratic Party mainline, is it? You're going to offer socialism to the American people? Do you think that the vast majority of Americans believe in socialism? Oh, I suppose the younger crowd do, and when they get a little older and wiser and make a little money or start to own businesses, they certainly start to realize the stupidity of that argument. But what does the Democratic Party as a whole offer the American voter? Nothing. Nothing but screaming and yelling and F-bombs. And they wonder why Americans are tuning out. They wonder why the polls are suddenly reversing right before the election. They wonder why. Because the Republican Party is energized. The average American, the great silent majority, as I've talked about it and talked about and talked about, who just come home after a hard day's work, turn on the TV, they're rejecting it. They don't want to hear about Roseanne Barr and her opioid problem dying. You know, what's that other show that went to Fox with Tim Allen? Last Man Standing. What did they talk about on their first show? How laughable the left is. They talked about it in the context of he's watching a TV show that opens with him watching Tim Allen and the family watching a TV show saying, well, where's my favorite show? Oh, it's on another network. Well, why would they do that stupid? That was a really popular show. That was an awful stupid thing to do. They do delve into politics, right? But they don't clobber you over the head with it. It's just... And the American people are fed up. And the excessiveness, right? During the next 28 days, you're going to see a lot of excessive behavior. You're going to suddenly see all of those groups which they spent so much time carefully crafting and cultivating, like Teachers for Education, the Red for Ed movement, Antifa, the Occupy Wall Street group, all of these little groups that the left wing carefully has been building, they're all suddenly going to take to the streets. They're all suddenly going to bust out windows. They're all suddenly going to stop cars on freeways, and the Black Lives Matter movement will be rallied. All of these people will get out the stops because it's all about one thing, and this is what it is. It's not about recapturing the Senate. It's not about recapturing the House. That's only the reason they're doing it. The reason they're doing it is because Hillary Clinton's going to run again. No doubt in my mind. Hillary Clinton's going to run again. Let's take a break and let me explain what's going on. We'll be right back. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support.
The problem never catches light.
We're back. Hillary Clinton's going to run again, folks. And she's, I would give her a 50-50 chance at becoming the nomination again. Isn't that shocking? Democratic Party didn't get it in 2016. Hillary Clinton didn't get it. The people have rejected her twice. Twice. Once during the Obama run-up, and now again with Donald Trump winning the presidency. They don't want her. They're on her, her hijinks. She was having a dinner. It was out yesterday in the news. $750 a plate. Obviously, they can't get the kind of money that they used to. But why would you have a fundraiser like that unless you were planning to run for office? There's no reason why. You wouldn't do it just to earn money. How much money do you need, Hillary? I mean, you got, what, hundreds of millions of dollars laying around. I know you do. There's no shortage of capital available to Hillary and Bill Clinton. My God, Bill Clinton can go give a speech for 750 grand. Well, maybe not so much anymore. Maybe 300 because they're not selling influence. So it's like, you know, can't get the kind of top dollar. But they could have she could get plenty of money just on the gigs. Why would you have a $750 a plate dinner? Well, because you're raising money. Think about what's going on. Why were they so upset? Why was the Kavanaugh thing? When you knew that Brett Kavanaugh had to be confirmed, there was no way they could win that case. They had no control in the Senate. They have the Harry Reid rule allowed them to approve a Supreme Court justice with only 50 or 51 votes. When you know you can't win, why would you make it such an issue? Why would you put the entire party, the Democrat Party, on the line? Well, because of the war on women. What did Hillary Clinton run on? She ran on the fact that vote for me, I've got a vagina. Vote for me, I'm a woman. We need a woman president. We need a woman president for this reason, for that reason, for this reason, for Mickey Mouse reason, for Donald Duck reason. Right? The American people rejected it. Half of America rejected it. Let's put it that way. Right? She forgot to campaign in some of those blue states, the upper Midwest. She basically told those people to their face, oh, you're going to vote for me anyway, and solar energy is coming to your town. Tough shit. Tough ski shitsky. You're going to vote for me anyway. And they rejected her, and as a result, she lost the election. She lost the election because she forgot. The presidential election is not about the popular vote. It's about the electoral college. It's about a regional vote. That's how it works here in this country. You don't like it, change it, right? Which is what she's trying to do. She talks about abandoning the Electoral College. But why would you put your entire party on the line for Brett Kavanaugh? Because it is essentially the Me Too movement in a nutshell. And what is the Me Too movement? It's the war on women. It's the same argument. It's the same argument that women have been disenfranchised in society because men are racists, men are sexist, men are misogynist, white men are the problem. It's the same argument, all in a nutshell, Brett Kavanaugh. So we're going to make Brett Kavanaugh representative of the problems in American society. White men. Toxic masculinity. Sexual impropriety. Sexism. Misogyny, as they said. That's what the Me Too movement has become. It began with the Harvey Weinstein. Yes, I'm an actress, and I was put in a compromising situation in order to find work. That was the original Me Too movement. It's not that now. Men are awful. Toxic masculinity. That's what the Me Too movement is. He said something rude to me. He said about a pubic hair on a Coke. That's what the Me Too movement has become. Didn't work with Clarence Thomas. Didn't work with Brett Kavanaugh. Won't work again in the fall election. But why would you do it? Because Hillary Clinton is going to run again. She's going to run on the same thing. That's all she's got. That I should be a president because I'm a woman. And so she needed something to solidify the base, and her, in her opinion, get American people out to vote for her. Why would you vote for Hillary Clinton? You lost twice. Why? What do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table that's different than any socialist or liberal voter candidate out there? What is different about Hillary Clinton than Kamala Harris, than Elizabeth Warren, than Cory Booker, than Joe Biden? What is different? Well, I can tell you, I have a vagina. And it's all about white men being a problem in society, and therefore you should vote for me. So they needed something, and they decided Brett Kavanaugh was it, and they decided to destroy his character. Personally, it was a double bonus because he was part of the Ken Starr investigation into Bill Clinton's sexual improprieties. So let's destroy Brett Kavanaugh and use it as a lever to ramp up to the election in 2020. Yeah, we're going to recapture the House and the Senate. We need that, right? That's the first step. But if they don't recapture, the Democrats don't recapture the House or the Senate, one or the other, Hillary Clinton may not run at all, because she knows she needs to solidify her base at the state level in order to run for president. Because why? President gets elected by the states. That's why the clampdown on individual conservative radio shows, which operate at a local level. That's why the clampdown and the talk about the gerrymandering and state elections. That's why you have the movement like Red for Ed movement, Antifa, Resistance, all of these movements cropping up. They're trying to recapture things at the state level because they've realized now that they have to win at the local and state level. And what's the old saying, all politics are local? Because of their complete failure in the national election in 2016. When Hillary Clinton lost that election, she realized there were two things happened. After all the crying and weeping and hair tearing is over, she realized and took a look at it. Said, oh, you know, the reason I lost was because I got a lot of votes in Portland and Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, but not much else. Not anywhere else. I didn't win Montana. I didn't win Wisconsin. I didn't win Michigan. I didn't win in the upper Midwest, in the Ohio River Valley. Well, how come when those are usual liberal bastions? Well, because I didn't appeal to those voters. And why didn't I appeal to them? Well, it was little talk shows basically talking to those listeners and telling them not to vote for Clinton and vote for Donald Trump instead. Donald Trump was a horribly flawed candidate. Everybody knew it. There should have been no reason why Hillary Clinton couldn't win. Because, why? She forgot that presidential elections are local, are regional votes, not popular vote. That was a complete failing, and now she's shifted gears. And so she's making it about the war on women, relabeling it as a Me Too movement, and doing it as a local or regional argument. And that's why she's going to run again. And you know what, folks? Got bad news for you. If we lose the House or we lose the Senate, one or the other, come fall, Hillary Clinton will run again, and she'll win. She'll win. People will buy into it. And they will buy into this martyr and this crying and this weeping and this anger, because she will come in as a what? As a conciliatory person. She'll come in as a conciliatory tone. I can bring you back the good old days. Remember the good old days when politics were softer, when we were all nicer to one another back when Bill Clinton was president? And yeah, we had some differences of opinion, but remember the good old days when the economy was so good? And we had all these programs, and we didn't all hate on each other. Let's get back to that by voting in Hillary. And we need a woman president to bring a softer tone to all of it. That's what the pitch is going to be. And people will buy it. People will say, yeah, I'm tired of all this agenda. I'm tired of all this screaming and weeping and gnashing. I'm tired of the Starbucks windows being blown out by the resistance movement, by Antifa. I'm tired about Occupy Wall Street. And maybe we should all be a little nicer. We should all be more Christian to each other. That's the pitch, and it'll sell, man. You got to understand, most people aren't educated about politics. They don't know about all of the things and all of the working machine parts behind political thought and political process. And so they'll just listen to whatever's going on in the mainstream news, and people will say, yeah, it was a good time. Gee, it was a good time. We had a good time during Clinton years. We had a little bit nicer time. It was, yeah, we had politics and we had divisions in this country, but it wasn't as bad. You know, you people forget. P- People only remember the good things. They don't remember all the bad things. I was always surprised that Hillary Clinton stayed married to Bill Clinton, because if she was able to reject that, you know, and say, you know what, I'm getting divorced because Bill Clinton was part of the problem too. He was a sexual predator too. But I think that there's probably too much tying them together than there is more of them driving them apart. That's why she stayed with him. But he's an anchor to her in this whole argument. Because anytime somebody comes up, when Hillary Clinton makes the argument about her gender, about white males, about misogyny, about the Me Too movement, everyone says, well, what about your husband? All you have to do is post a picture of Monica Lewin and Bill together, and it completely blows up the argument. But she's going to run again. That's why they went after Brett Kavanaugh, because he is the argument in a nutshell. They got Dr. Ford, who was obviously a damaged individual, obviously was victimized at some point in her life, the way she was talking, the way she described her attack. She's just completely believable. You could believe Dr. Ford was attacked at some point in her life without necessarily believing Kavanaugh was the attacker. Of course you can. I don't know if it was a repressed memory or what, but something happened to her, right? You don't go before the Senate. You don't write letters to senators if nothing happened, if you're just making it up. It's just, I'm not buying it. So something happened to her, but I don't believe Brett Kavanaugh had anything to do with it. I think it's tied to the fact that there was a book out, that it was tied to the book that was written by Brett's friend, Mark Judge, who wrote about a fictional account of hijinks in college and high school that led to a life of addiction and problems in his life and his struggles. And I believe that in Dr. Ford's mind, it must have been Brett Kavanaugh who did this, because he was around at that time and he looked like the guy or whatever. I don't know, whatever goes on in their side or head. But you can believe that something happened to Dr. Ford. Absolutely. And I think the American people did too. And I think that's why those senators eventually stuck to the line, because they said, well, there's no proof. And we have to vote Brett Kavanaugh in. Anyway, we've got to move on. This is a cautionary tale, folks. If you think that Hillary Clinton went away, if you think that she's just about Thorne, you think that she's just out there, you know, doing this for the Democratic Party, the Clintons never did anything selfless in their lives. Not Bill Clinton, not Hillary Clinton, not even their daughter, Chelsea Clinton. And if you think they're out there raising money for the Democrat Party, whoever that, forget it, man. It's about them. And it's always about them. And it's always been about them. I want to talk one last thing before we close out the show about global warming. We'll be right back. Okay, we only got a few minutes left. You know, there are other candidates that are going to run. Probably, maybe Joe Biden, maybe Kamala Harris, maybe Cory Booker, maybe Elizabeth Warren. You know, other people have been talking about it. Who knows? Whatever. They all are looking for that hook to sell to the American people. They're all looking for that issue to go to the American people with, elect me because I believe this. That's why you're seeing all these stories on global warming and Al Gore out there. Al Gore is a liberal and a leftist, no question about it, but he's not, I don't want to say a socialist, but he's not on board with the Bernie Sanders wing or the Hillary Clinton wing, despite what you think, even though he was Clinton's vice president. And so he's out there pitching global warming again, that basically the entire world's going to end in 12 years. And there are all these other stories related to global warming. There's stories about a million ways we're all going to die. Oh, government is not putting enough money into cancer research, and so disease is going to run rampant. Oh, there's this story about disease in Los Angeles, you know, fleas, typhus. I talked about it here on the show. And it's all the fault of government, because government isn't protecting people. It's all the fault of government because Trump cut back on the budget for Obamacare funding and not funding the insurance companies. And there's a million stories like that. Basically, the world's coming to an end. Do you remember the movie V for Vendetta? I don't know if you've ever watched this before. V for Vendetta is a great story about individual liberties and social libertarianism. And in the movie, they show you the dictator, who's played wonderfully by, John Hurt. That's it. And he basically says, look, we're losing the battle of the minds between the people and my administration. So what we're going to do is put all these news stories out telling them how much we need government. That's why you're seeing the stories about global warming. That's why you're seeing the stories about the opioid crisis, about all these things that are coming out. I saw a story, even sperm counts are down among American men, and where the human race is going to be wiped out because of low sperm counts in North America. It's nonsense. But all of the stories revolve around one thing: how much we need government. If it wasn't for government funding, we would have this. If it wasn't for government paying for our Medicare and health insurance bills, we'd all die. If it wasn't for government cleaning up the environment and the EPA, there would be polluters all over the country, and we would have dirty air, and we'd all die from water poisoning. Remember what happened in Flint? That's because we didn't have enough government. That's how the pitch is going to be. And so hopefully that in their thinking, you'll turn on the TV, you'll see all these stories. Oh my God, the world is coming apart because we elected Donald Trump. Let's get rid of him. And there'll be a certain percentage of people that will buy into it. There's always is. Sales pitch, just like anything else. I mean, you could sell snake oil if you do it right. There's lots of snake oil salesmen out there selling their own products now. I won't get into specifics in fear of lawsuits. But what they're doing with these global warming stories about how we're all going to end and die in 12 years or whatever it is, that Al Gore keeps changing the date. You notice how the date always keeps changing. 10 years ago, he said, New York is going to be underwater in 10 years. Yeah, guess what? It isn't. And now they're saying, oh, the world's going to end up in global warming, or it might end up in another ice age in 12 years. I love how they come up with specific dates, right? I always say to them, is that post-meridian or anti-meridian, you know, when that happens? Is there an actual time of the day? Or that, remember the Aztec calendar or Mayan calendar? We're all going to die in 2001 or 2002 or 2011. They keep, and then this story would update. Well, we were actually wrong. It's going to be this date. And they keep moving it forward. It's the same old. You remember when, I don't know if you remember this, when I was a kid, the world is going to end tomorrow, guys who would stand on the street corner, the end is near kind of thing. It's the same thing. Trying to scare you into voting liberal. We need government. We need to someone to rescue us. Oh, the world, we're all going to die. That's what it comes down to. And guess what? The world spins on. Roman Empire fell. Egypt Empire. Khan. Genghis Khan. Not the Wrath of Khan, you guys, for you science fiction fans. Civilization begins and ends all the time. World's not going to end. Not anytime soon. And you know how I feel free to say that and with such surety? Because if something happened tomorrow, like the sun exploded and we all wiped out, no one would ever remember that I said the world was not going to end anyway. So, and on that note, we've run out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got 28 days. Tomorrow's 27. And in each day, it's going to get progressively worse. And I don't know what the next outrage will be that people will be tearing their hair out in the Supreme Court steps, but I can assure you, whatever comes along that they say is going to be the reason we need to vote liberals in, that such urgency, it's going to be a false story. I can assure you that. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care, folks. Have a good one.